Hello, welcome back. We're here with our third interview of the day. We're here with Cecilia.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. In a Saturday morning.
I know. So can you tell us a little bit about what you showed in the symposium and a little bit about your work?
Okay, well, my symposium presentation aimed to explain and describe this fictional service, which is called Tragos. And yeah, it's like a speculative company that provides playlist of viral videos for helping people to get rid of their stress and their frustration. So in my idea, like, a person who gets stressed by depression of nowadays life can go home, or like, while he's talking with the boss is pissing him out, and then he go to the toilet and he just open the app, he match the playlist with his current emotion, and he got stream a specific viral video for a kind of
So it like customizes like a viral video for your situation,
based on your background and your like kind of deep characteristic.
Cool. And it's like so you're talking a lot about scapegoats.
Well, yeah, that's the point where I am right now. And yeah, because basically my kind of thesis is that we kind of use those viral videos and we address those people because we need to get rid of something. And scapegoat is a concept that comes from the Greek tragedy, from the like concept of catharsis. And basically, like, Greek people believed that by going to the theater and witnessing certain kind of tragedy, they were kind of purifying themselves. And by witnessing the death of the protagonist, who was embodying like those kind of shames and pities of the society, and by witnessing his death, his murder, sometimes they were kind of purifying themselves. And that's a kind of comparison that I like to make with viral video, because sometimes we kind of not really figure out what we are watching at. You know, like, we got those videos and we barely understand what's the life behind those people. And they become for us just characters. It's not a matter of blaming or questioning anything. It's just very interesting for me, the kind of the relationship that we create and we build up with those characters, you know?
I think that was one thing that was really successful about your symposium, was that a lot of the videos that you showed were kind of funny, and a lot of people in the audience were laughing at them. Then you see images of like a funeral. I can't remember what was the girl.
That was the case study that I brought for my research paper, and she was an Italian woman who committed suicide after a series of porn video of her started to circulate online. And that was a very tragic story, a very bold story for Italy. We still remember her. We still, it's very controversial, because what happened is that she started a legal battle. She invoked the right to be forgotten. She wanted those videos to be out of the internet. She lost the battle and she had to pay all the legal expenses towards Facebook and Yahoo. And it's very controversial, because those companies sometimes like grow up like on the back of those people, you know. And yeah, that was a very like specific and kind of complex topic, like kind of complex case of viral video and scapegoating, because she actually committed suicide and
ends up as a tragedy. Forget that she's a real person.
right,
because that's what you showed. So you showed like lots of people making fun of her in videos, and like people in the audience were laughing, and then you showed her funeral, you immediately felt all this guilt because you realized, oh, it's a real person. That was really interesting.
Thanks, Paul.
So if you don't, this is kind of a weird question, but if you don't experience, or if you're not aware of viral videos, are you immune to their effect?
Well, that's something that I've been thinking about for my research, because my belief is that those kind of viral videos are just a tool that plays on kind of some of primitive behaviors. And a good reference for this concept is a book by Sigmund Freud called Totems and Taboos that I applied to a performance by Marina Abramović. So basically, she did this performance in the 70s, I think, in Italy, where she was like putting 72 objects in a table.
Oh yeah, I really
like
that
part. Right, and she asked the audience to do everything, like whatever they wanted towards her with those objects. And she gave them like 6 hours of time, and she was like completely still.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that at the very beginning, anybody was like kind of violent or anything, they just gave her like good thing and stuff. And at one point, since one started to be violent, people got crazy, like decided to cut her neck, drunk her blood. You know, like, they were very, very dark. Like, they switched in a very dark and, like, kind of irrational mood. Mm-hmm. And I think... And then the good thing is that once the performance was done, the gallerist arrived and she was able to meet the audience. And anybody was there. And anybody was there able to interact with her as a human being anymore.
Yeah.
So I think those viral videos are just, again, just a medium that plays on determinate chords. Mm-hmm. Chords? I don't know how to say, like, yeah, the kind of awake some kind of primitive behaviors that we have, all of us have. And there's so much to research on that, and I'm really interested to kind of deepen in this question, this topic,
definitely.
You know?
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting parallel.
Yeah.
So how do you think the drama of your presentation affected us, and how relevant do you think it is?
I mean, I think you're talking about the symposium, I guess, right?
I think this is about the symposium. I think the question is talking about the drama of the viral videos you showed.
I mean, I liked to think about the fact that I kind of make these huge contrasts between those very badly made viral videos with very rough, with very vulgar content and stuff, and the boldness of the great tragedy, you know, like the metaphor of the tragedy, or the metaphor of the theater, or I don't know if you remember the soundtrack that I used when it was a song by Mozart, everything was like kind of tailored for creating this contrast between what, like, the environment was surrounding the audience and what they were actually seeing, just for making like a statement that what they were seeing is not something that you can really watch in the toilet while you're pooping, because someone is like dying behind it, you know? So yeah, maybe that was the purpose, and it's maybe even more complex than that. And it's very interesting because if I think about Italian television, that was all like that. There was this TV show when I was a child that was about music, and like people needed to recognize the song with two or three notes. And at the end of the show, only like autistic people were able to win, but that was like heavy, you know, like those very like, and each of them was kind of a character, because one was the butterfly and the other one was the tiger man, you know. And it was like this very circus show where all the audience were kind of laughing and entertained by them, and it might like anybody was figuring out that those people were actually, you know, like, kind of targeted. It was like a pervert game, you know?
Yeah.
And in the kind of environment of the TV at 9 after dinner, or while Italian people were having dinner.
Oh, so this was like a really mainstream
show. Yeah, it was super popular.
Okay, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm gonna show you, I'm gonna send you some links about.
Okay, thanks. So what responses do you expect to elicit in your viewer, and do you consider the risk or possibility of exploiting the viewer and our subjects in your work?
I don't know. I like to say I want the viewer to think twice before watching this video, but I don't really want, like, I'm sure, again, it's something that we can't really control, because if someone fell behind us in the street, we can't prevent ourselves to laugh. So it would be a hypocrisy, you know, to say you don't have to watch them, or you have to watch them with more awareness. No, that's not what I want. I just want to investigate and, you know, like, to depict this kind of awkwardness that goes on. And I just would like sometimes to make us naked, you know, somehow. Like, say, guys, stop, pretend to be, you know, like, whatever you want to pretend to be. I mean, we are like that. Just think about that twice and think about what you're doing, because in this way you're actually, I mean, just admit it. And I don't know.
So you're more interested in why we act like this, more than trying to raise awareness to everyone.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Okay, cool. So I think we're about to run out of time. So finally, I just want to ask you, what's in your drawer?
My drawer is kind of the drawer of employees of the company.
Yeah, I saw it. I really liked it.
So it's like, I printed out a fake PowerPoint slides.
For your fictional company.
For my fictional company. Yeah. And then I got like the badge of Robbie, Rob.
He's the CEO.
He's like one of the, how did I call him? I don't remember. It was like one of the interviewer of the new client.
Oh, okay.
It was like a kind of a life coach that helped you to tailor your path and understand what you should do for achieving your goals, let's say like that. And then there's something else just for creating there are business cards, but cool. It's all,
Cool. So everyone go check out the drawer.
Yes, please. Go to check out the drawer.
Okay, cool. That's the end of our interview. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you, Paul.
So next up, we have Mo. He'll be on in 5 minutes. Bye.